Welcome to Messy Business, the podcast that will help you change how you work, not who you are. This is where we talk honestly about thinking clearly, making better decisions, and building a business that actually feels good to run without hustle, hype, or pretending everything's fine. I'm Libby Langley, business coach, author, optimist, realist, and self-employed since 2011. Here's this week's episode. Hello, welcome to another episode of Messy Business. I'm Libby Langley, and I am the professional problem solver and business sorter outer in your pocket, or in your ears. That's what I am. I'm not sure. I might be in your pocket. You might have your phone in your pocket as you're listening to this. Who knows? I want to give you some advice today, and some advice to ignore the advice. That's what I'm talking about today. There is so much advice out there, so much business advice. Do this, do that. You should do this. If you don't do this, you're an absolute failure. Oh my God, what are you even thinking? You're such a loser. If you don't do this, everybody's doing this. Why aren't you? You're so behind. Okay, so I am going to tell you to ignore it all, but I'm going to go through it so you know specifically what to ignore. Right? Absolutely not all business advice is bad. The advice that I give you is absolutely tip top and you won't get better advice anywhere. Okay. But some of the advice that you get, particularly from the online gurus, it's an immediate hard no. And that's not because it never works, right? All advice, all the things that you hear will work for some people, right? Absolutely. But business advice without context is basically just kind of horoscope content for business owners. You need to have the context to stuff. You need to know the nuances. You need to really understand yourself and your business before you accept blanket advice, and particularly advice from people who are at an entirely different stage of business to you. You know, a lot of the advice bandying about is from people who have enormous infrastructure in their business, maybe turn over a lot of money too. And I mean like a lot of money. And they get you, one, is listening to their advice and trying to replicate it. It's like, but that's like getting advice on how to cook potatoes when what you've got in your hand is some lobster, right? It's entirely irrelevant, right? Trying to apply that to the wrong thing. So I'm going to kind of, I want this episode, it's going to be quite fun, I think, but I want this episode to be really a, just a thing for you to look out for, right? To get your spidey senses working properly and to be able to recognize when you're at risk, when you have already gone, oh man, that's why it's not working, and to be aware of what might come for you in the future, okay? Because the important thing about having a business is that you make the choices for you, right? You take your own particular situation and you take any advice and adapt it to your own particular situation. You never try and copy something carte blanche because we're all very different and we all want different things. That's what's so important. I'm going to start with passive income because that seems like a nice segue. But, you know, we're all told that passive income is the dream. We're all told that. And the thing about passive income is that there's still a lot of work that needs to happen behind the scenes in order for this income to be generated. You know, you could say that being a landlord is passive income, right? But buying a second, third property, managing those, maintaining them, doing all the behind the scenes administrative stuff that comes with it, you know, is it really passive? I don't know. But is it a great business model? Yeah, maybe. But that's it. That's a whole different thing. And certainly courses, right, in the online world courses, those kind of things that, you know, the passive income dream, affiliate stuff. It's not passive because it takes an absolute ton of work to market this stuff, or a ton of money. Because once you've set it all up, that's work that you'll do once, presumably. But once you've set it all up, then you either need to spend, your whole life marketing this stuff, or you need to spend a fortune on ads. And somebody's got to manage the ads, which might be another cost, or you might be doing it. So passive income to me is not my dream, right, at all. And there's another reason that it isn't for me. And the idea of getting money in each month without having to do any work for it, oh my God, of course that's a dream, right? Of course that's a dream. But there's got to be the reality with it. But for me, I, certainly in terms of a course or something like that, it bores me to tears, really, genuinely. It's not something, I don't want a hands-off business like that. Because what I enjoy is the talking to people, is the seeing changes in people's eyes. And I've had plenty of courses, online courses over the years, and some of them very, very successful. But I found that I was adding in steps that made it not be passive because I wanted the contact. And so one course that I had, I was trying to remember what it was called. What was it called? Marketing Megastars. It's really cool. It taught people how to be really good at marketing, and was, I think it was like $395, something like that. So really accessible price too. It was a great course. But I got bored with it, obvs, because what I didn't like about it was the fact that I knew it was a good course, but I needed the live element in order to know how people were doing and to be able to answer the questions and get that reaction and see that change in people. And so we had live calls, but I did them on Facebook, if I remember rightly. And so there wasn't that reaction other than people typing, which was a bit unsatisfactory. This is probably 7 years ago, maybe. It was a bit unsatisfactory. And in the end, I think I closed it after a couple of years. Can't remember. And then so the next thing that I did had Zoom calls in it because I knew that I wanted that interaction, that live element. But what I didn't want was the regularity of the live calls in my diary all the time. I didn't want to be constrained by having the certain things in there. So it's quite interesting for me to understand about myself that passive income ain't my dream because the things that go with it either bore me or restrict me. Restrict me. So it's not my dream. It might be your dream, and affiliate work might be your dream, but you've got to do so much marketing for stuff. Absolutely. You know, people who are influencers and make their money that way, that's largely affiliate stuff, right? They work really hard. They're always online. Their life is documented online. That's not a dream of mine. And it might not be for you too. And it might be, in which case, crack on. But, you know, business advice that passive income is the dream. Passive income can be a supplement for some of the businesses, of course. But passive isn't always passive. And I did do an episode about this ages ago now. So do scroll back for a whole episode about passive income. But sometimes passive income, it's just active income by a different name, right? And it might be not be your best way of earning money because often passive income is smaller price stuff, so you need more volume, so you need more marketing, right? Another thing, business advice I'd completely ignore, that you need to be everywhere. No, you don't. You need to be where your people are and you need to be brave enough to say, I'm not being there because either I don't want to be or my people aren't there. I'm not doing it just because it exists. You know, TikTok. I went on TikTok for a bit. I haven't been on it for years. Don't even have the app anymore. Not where I want to be. There'd be some of my people there, but not a concentration enough. My people are at networking. My people are service-based businesses who know that they've hit a wall, or there's some kind of glitch in their business matrix that they need sorting out, they need help with. That's my people. And creating endless content around that, arguably, hello, podcast, but on social media where it doesn't have the same longevity or evergreen nature, it's not going to do any good. It's just going to take up an absolute ton of my time, make me really miserable, and probably achieve not all that much, right? So you don't need to be everywhere. I've been teaching social media since 2008 or 9, many thousands of people in that time since I first started teaching how to use it for business. And I don't focus on that anymore, but obviously marketing strategy is a large part of what I talk about when it comes to businesses. And I have always said, do one and do it well. Pick one social media channel and do it well. And I stand by that however many years. That's nearly 20 years later. I still stand by that. And there is real FOMO of, oh my God, but I'm not active on LinkedIn. I'm not active on Instagram. And it's like, the world's not going to break. The world's not going to break. You can't do a full-time job of marketing yourself across all these channels well as your full-time job, right? You can't do it. So you don't need to be everywhere. Pick one or two or three and do them well, right? And do them in the format that you like, okay? If you don't like making videos, don't make videos. I don't like doing it. I've had two periods during the 3.5 years of this podcast of videoing it too. I don't like doing it, so I don't do it. And yes, if this was video on YouTube rather than just an audio on YouTube, it would perform on YouTube a lot better, but I don't want to do it. So that to me is, that's the petulant child. It's like, you don't have to. You get to make the choices, right? And as long as they're conscious choices, then that is really important. Okay. Some more advice I would ignore is scale, scale, scale. You maybe don't want to scale your business. You maybe don't want an empire. I don't want an empire. I thought I did to start with in the business 15 years ago. And after 5 years, I realized, oh, no, I don't want to do this. I want to do the work I enjoy and get paid for it. So I had to make my team redundant and kind of, you know, that was horrible. And I don't wish that on anybody. But scaling can mean different things too. But most of the people that I talk to, most of my clients and just people that I know in the business world, most people want to be a bit more profitable doing what they do slightly better. And that's most people's in my, I suppose in my kind of peripheral vision, that's what people want. But there seems to be some kind of shame associated with that, that that's not big enough or shiny enough or anything like that. And it's like, but what's wrong with that? What's wrong with just doing what you want and earning a decent income from it? And that's not to say you need to do all the work yourself, right? It's not necessarily about trading hours for money at all. But it's about setting up the business in that way. You get to decide, right? You don't have to have a massive infrastructure. You don't have to have all the growth in the world. As long as you know what you need each month and what you want each month, and you've costed that out in your business, and you know that's possible within the hours that you want to work, which might not be 17 a day, then that's okay. You get to decide all of this stuff, right? You get to say if you want £1,000 a month in your pocket or £20,000 a month in your pocket. You get to decide. And there's no right or wrong there. Nobody can shame you into growth or scale just because that's what we're supposed to do, right? There's nothing wrong with just being happy in your business at all. And I think the same goes for automating everything. I had a conversation with someone earlier today about that. Who'd listened to my podcast I did a few weeks ago. He's just listened to it. I'm out of sync because I'm recording a bit ahead because I'm going on holiday. So automating everything. And he listened to my AI. What was it? Sounding Like Yourself. Still Sounding Like Yourself if you're using AI. Episode six or seven back. And just completely agreed that, you know, automating everything isn't a good idea. Because if we lose all the human touch points It's really sad. Really sad. So in your customer journey, in your marketing, in your everything, there still needs to be some kind of human element if you're a service-based business. But even if you're not, right, customer service, I think, should still have human elements to it. It's just, it's funny, as I'm recording this, I've just had an email pop up and I've just seen what it says. I'd asked for some customer service support on something and they'd replied and I'd replied and said, thank you. And I've just seen that the email that they sent back was just a little heart. And it's like, how nice is that? And this is a big expo that I will have been to by the time this comes out. But the podcast show, I'll give them a shout out, the podcast show in London. It's, you know, how nice is that? And I can think of a really lovely example of that too. When I went to Social Media Marketing World, I've been 8 times, I think, over the years. Haven't been for a few years now, but a social media big conference in the States, in San Diego, it always was. And I got an email, an automated, standard, generic email from the hotel I was staying at. I was going to be staying at. And I replied to this email because I'd stayed at the hotel several times before. And I replied and said, I love your hotel. I really like the views over the harbour in San Diego. I always look forward to coming. I like the way it's laid out, staff, you know, whatever. It's all really good, right? And I took the human time to respond to this email, which I knew was automated because I work in this field, right? But then someone did reply, a human replied and said, great, we're looking forward to seeing you. Nothing exciting, right? But when I got there and in my hotel room, there was a bottle of wine in the room and a little thing of biscuits, and it was just, or chocolates, and a little note to say, really, you know, lovely to welcome you back. And the guest manager, whoever they were, said, let me know if you need anything, you know, here's my direct email. And so I emailed to say, thanks ever so much for this. It was really sweet. I know we had that little pre-chat and stuff. And she's like, where are you in the hotel? And I said, oh, I'm by the pool. And she came out with a glass of iced water to the pool. And she didn't need to do that. You know, I was not exactly a big spender. I was there for 2 or 3 nights. But I've talked about that multiple times over the years. And it's just one such example of when adding a human element in and not automating everything really goes a long way, right? It makes your customers feel happy and valued, and it gives them stories to tell, which is good about referrals and recommendations and all this. I think it's so much more important now when we do automate everything and we do AI everything. And it's like, hold on a minute, let's just, you know, maybe just send a handwritten letter sometimes, yeah? And the same with a funnel, right? You know, the funnel is a marketing term of the amount of people who are aware of you funneling down to the amount of people who buy from you, right? In its basic terms. But maybe you don't need a really complicated funnel to consciously do that. Maybe you just need a clearer sentence of, and some people will buy and some people won't, right? You don't need a complicated funnel or a complicated structure necessarily. And you certainly don't need to just post more content, right? Quantity is not a strategy when it comes to anything in your business. Volume doesn't matter. If you're going to post on social media, you're better to do one or two really good posts on one or two channels of where your audience is going to be a week than every day across 5, right? Across 5 channels. Because that's like, I mean, like I said before, it's a full-time job, right? And more advice I would ignore. Charge your worth. I just don't like the phraseology of that sentence because who's to say, yeah? I think worth is kind of existential there. Pricing is commercial. And yes, you absolutely need to charge according to your experience, your skills, the transformation you get, whatever it is, right? But I think it's the phrase. And I know I've used it. I would have used it before, in the past. But I think as I'm older and wiser now, there's something kind of wrong with it because it makes you question your worth. but actually, how long have you been doing this? How good are you at this? How good are you at this? How many people have you worked with? What can you say categorically and confidently that you will achieve? And that's what you charge according to, right? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's too woo for me. I don't know. But pricing is a commercial thing, and worth is existential. They're different, right? More advice. Invest before you're ready. I don't know. Or do it before you're ready. Yes and no, right? Sometimes yes, sometimes catastrophically no, because you can invest in things that are too big for where you are, or too grand, or too complicated, or too expensive for where you are or where you want to be, right? Like I said about scaling, if you know that you want to take home, I don't know, $4,000 a month, right? That would change your life forever. And take home, different to turnover, right? Your profit, say $4,000 a month. Then investing in a £15,000 program might not be the smartest thing, because you've got to, you know, that's a lot of profit, right? How many years would it take you to take that out of your profit to pay it back or to save up for it? Years, right? And it's not like, well, actually, if you do the maths, it's only 3 or 4 months. Yes, but you need to pay your mortgage with that money too. Yeah. So I would always think about your end position first of, what do I actually want from this business? What do I actually want to earn this year? What do I need to earn this year? How happy do I want to be? How much effort am I prepared to put in? And what are my boundaries? Where am I prepared to work? And then work back from that. And then the investing has got to be relative to that, right? And it's got to be appropriate for where you are right now, or maybe just a bit of a stretch, right? It depends on the context of what it is. That does matter. And I have overinvested to the tune of, I don't know how many thousands of pounds. And I think for me, it was always feeling like I wasn't where I should be, and seeing where other people were in their business or the stages they were on or whatever the shiny clothes they wore, and not feeling like I was good enough, rather than actually I'm in my own lane and I'm really good at this and I like this and that's fine with me. So feeling inferior because my personality or my desires didn't match other people's. And that's just so desperately sad, isn't it? I give past me a hug for all of those things. But it all stems from childhood, doesn't it? We're not going to go into the therapy episode or the amount of money I spent on that, right? But we can identify reasons for things. But I really want you to think before you invest in anything, including if you think, you know, I know people have on their vision board for the year they have working with me. That's great. Really think about it, though. Think about it if it is the right decision for you, because it's got to be. And I know it's different because it's a very personal service and it's not 15 grand. I mean, you can give me 15 grand if you want, that's fine, but that's not how much my services are. You know, and it's different, but still, is it right for you? Yeah. And if there's anybody that you're thinking, I really, really, really want to do this, but they won't have a conversation with you first to determine if it actually is right for you, don't work with them. I would say absolutely don't work with them. If you can't have an honest conversation with them without feeling like you're being sold to, or without being asked for your credit card details on the phone, do not work with them, right? Walk away, absolutely walk away from it, because that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't ever be pressured or feel like you're being blindsided a little bit or cajoled into anything. That shouldn't happen. I hope that, you know, if there's one thing I've said that you take that on board, because I mean that with all seriousness. I've been absolutely screwed over twice that I can think of, and I'm cross with myself for falling into the trap when I knew what the trap was. But that's the danger of, particularly of my neurodiversity that I am now aware of, which is why I won't make any decisions about anything big like that for 48 hours. And I've talked about that before on podcasts, because if I can't go away and think about it and talk to my husband about it and sleep on it and all that, then I'm not going to do it. It's not right for me. It's not right for me mentally, let alone business-wise, right? Just a couple more to say. Just outsource it. Is that business advice that you should always follow? Not necessarily. if you can and want to do it yourself, then maybe you can. Maybe you should, right? But just outsourcing is not the blanket answer to everything. Outsourcing is brilliant, right? Absolutely brilliant. But sometimes, actually, maybe you quite like doing it. Maybe you want to retain control of it. Maybe it's a nice skill set for you. Maybe it's good for your mental health to do that, all that stuff. You know, maybe it helps you feel in control of your business. So outsourcing is not necessarily always the blanket answer. And you have to come back to your profitability and how much you want to earn and all how you work all that out, right? So, but outsourcing is incredible, okay? But it's not always. You don't need to outsource everything if you don't want to. Done is better than perfect. But sometimes done is rubbish, right? We don't strive for a perfection, but sometimes it's got to be accurate, okay? So chucking out something there that could be damaging to your brand is not a good idea. So sometimes done isn't better than perfect. Sometimes just not doing at all is the right answer. Depends on the nuance, okay? And building a personal brand. We all have them, whether we like it or not. We all have a personal brand. But a personal brand doesn't mean that you need to become kind of internet wallpaper and, going back to the beginning, needing to be everywhere. It doesn't mean that. It can mean whatever you want. It means about being true to your own voice within your business. And that is really, really important. Okay. So do whatever fits what you want and do whatever fits your business model. And by that, I mean the business model that you actually want, not possibly the complicated pile of who knows what that you've actually managed to create for yourself. And in which case, if that's the case, come to me. I will help you sort it out. All right. Oh, there we go. Whew, a lot of information there. So off you crack. Sort it all out. And I'll see you next time on another episode of Messy Business. Bye. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Messy Business. If this episode made things feel a little clearer, come and tell me. I'm over on Instagram at Libby Langley. Until next time, remember, you can change how you work without needing to change who you are.